Yep, come on up here, Pastor. We live now. I'm sorry, we went live by mistake. Amen. He's coming, y'all. He's coming. We went live by mistake. Amen. Amen.
Since Pastor Ben already hit the live.
Oh, and put your mic on, Pastor. Put your mic on.
We're going to have my wife pray us in.
Yeah, because we didn't mean to go live right then, but there we go.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for this day, dear
thank
Jesus.
You.
I thank you for getting us up this morning, dear Lord. I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that resides in this place, dear Jesus. We pray right now for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, that you continue to speak to his heart, dear Jesus, as he delivers the message that you placed on it, dear Lord. We pray right now for hearts to receive, dear Lord, ears to hear with spiritual ears, dear Lord. Allow it to minister to their hearts, dear Lord, as they study and share, dear Lord, for themselves in Jesus' name. We thank you, dear Lord, that Sandy has given the proper time to the message, dear Lord, and he delivered it just as you assigned him to. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we bless you on this day. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Got your glasses?
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you for the reminder. Appreciate it. Okay, are we ready to go, you guys?
We're rolling, dude. We're rolling.
All right, praise the Lord. I'm just looking at these cards that I got. They're nice. Look at this. You like that card? That's a beautiful card. I got to keep that. And then I can't read it all, but it's all there for me to read later. And I can't read it all, but the card's beautiful, and I'm going to read it after church. Let me see. I have to look at the card, see who they're from. P.S. Well, hallelujah.
Hello from South Africa, Dallas.
Hello, North South Africa, Carolina. North Carolina. Favorite city is Greensboro's. Oh, this is from Mary, and she's from, this card here is from, well, she lives in Mammoth. Ooh, is that in Canada? Does that look like a Canadian? Oh, in the UK. Wow.
Wow.
That's in the UK. And did she send me both of these? Because these are both beautiful. Yeah. Your sister.
Virginia, Nebraska,
and
Mary. San Antonio checking in, Pastor Sam.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And San Antonio?
And South Africa said, we too.
We too.
South Texas.
Me too. We too.
Mexico.
Ooh, you guys. Okay. And now. What? Wait a minute, I want to see this. This is from Chris and Neil, and this is card here. So I'm loving that. I was looking at all my cards this morning. I got quite a bag now. Because I don't throw any cards away, you know.
Yeah.
This past week I was reading about 10 of them that said what a wonderful person I was. I felt better as soon as I got up. That's why I save them, you know what I mean? For those days that, you know, people ain't saying nice things to you, and you got your card, you go, ha, you liar, I got my card. Hallelujah.
And this is South Dakota, England, they're chiming in. Fort Lauderdale.
Hallelujah.
Barbados, England.
Yeah, wow. This is from my Cos family over in Gardena. They had kids day.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. That looks fun. Whatever they're doing, that looks fun. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have a message today.
Amen.
And it is something that I think we need to learn. But to learn it, you got to want to know truth.
Yeah.
If you don't really want to know truth, you're not going to really want to hear this particular message, okay? Because church can be about encouraging us. Very good. I think Andrea and Nicole and Tahira, I think when you guys get together and you have messages of how to battle, how to fight, how to encourage, right? How to stay in the fight, you know? Those are very good messages, okay? Because the body of Christ needs all of that. Hey, my sister, how you doing? You keep coming back, girl. I love it. Praise God. But there are other messages that God wants you to know that he's not asleep. He has a plan for you as well. You understand? And his plan started from the beginning. But once you know his plan and you get in line with his plan, that's when everything falls into place. Okay? So, you know I'm a Bible teacher.
Yeah.
So I want you to, first of all, I'll talk about that later, because this world is pretty crazy.
Epstein's dead, Pastor Sam.
I know, that's what they say.
I think
they should have let the victims come in and pull the switch. Then they would know. But I don't think doing it like, oh, he secretly died overnight. I don't trust it. You know what I mean? Dr. Pchenik says he doesn't trust it. Okay, he's one of the 200 generals that had Trump elected to drain the swamp. You see, the swamp is getting drained.
Yeah.
All the people that have been doing all of this evil, the Clintons can't get no money from nowhere anymore, right? Because nobody wants anything to do with them. So when Trump was saying we're going to drain the swamp, he's saying we're going to take all the water out so you guys can really see what's at the bottom, okay? And I think 2 or 3 days ago, before Epstein, I hate to even
Sherry
say committed.
Lynn said witness protection.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think he went into witness protection. Because, we'll find out later. But let me tell you why. They released documents, 200 pages of documents of everybody who's involved. All the names are presidents of nations, high-level business people, mayors, governors, royalty. All of these people are in these indictments, okay? Which, if this goes to court, now these indictments have to be also open, and these people have to also come to court, because the crime is so horrible that the world is going to demand justice, okay? Because when you're messing with children, now the world's going to demand justice. And so now, some people say witness protection. Some people say he was assassinated. They went in and assassinated him. Either or, you have 200 pages of documents and CDs. I'm talking about film, y'all. Of people doing acts that they shouldn't have done, and they're called honey traps. These acts were being used to make sure that they keep those people in the pocket, so that they can never say, hey, you can't, you know, your money is our money now, because we can now blackmail you. So it was a part of a blackmail, and that's what they do. So I'm just saying this, whether he's dead or not, the world should demand that the case get investigated, okay? Because we're talking about a lot. But I have good news. There were 67 pedophiles that got arrested this week, and they had imprisoned 103 children, and all 103 children were released.
Amen.
So, and this project, Broken Heart, this operation, which means like we're going to drain the swamp, we're going to clean this out, is the heart of the 200 generals and Trump. Okay, so like him, hate him, a lot of things are getting exposed, and but the world is too. I was doing a study this week, just seeing all the things that this 666 system is, this 666 system is preparing for the world. I've just been doing a study, just looking at everything. And when I got when I was finished, and I'm going to show it to you on Wednesday, what I studied, okay? When I finished, I was overwhelmed. I said, God, how are we going to, how does the world deal with all of this? And the Lord quieted me and said this, nothing's happening until the church leaves. So relax. I knew about this before it all began, okay? So relax. The giant is never going to be too big for the rock, okay?
Amen.
So relax. They're not going to win. They have a lot of great plans, okay? But they're not going to win. So relax and understand what I'm trying to tell you today, because the giant is too big for you to handle, okay? Do you know that your social security number or when you get born, your birth certificate or your social security, do you know that those are traded on the market because you're worth a certain amount of money when you're born? Did you know that? So this whole thing of control of people is based on controlling people and bringing them all under this system, okay? And you can't fight against the system. Like, no matter how mad those people are about Jeffrey Epstein being dead, there is nothing that they're gonna do about what's really going on, because we don't have the power, okay? And we don't have the power to rescue the world from this 666 giant, but the rock is coming, okay? And the world will be turned over to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And if you're in Christ, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Right? Hallelujah. Because you're living in a world and you're thinking, wow, I'm born again and this is so great, you know? I'm saying I'm born again and this is a miracle, because I see that the world is filled with people who don't care about, want to know about, or have any feelings about God or Jesus at all. Everybody's doing their own thing, right? And so now you know Jesus by some miracle, okay? Because I know it seems that it was easy for you to get born again, but somebody had to find you, convince you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, loved you, or you had to been born into a family that loved you. Some great things had to happen, because there are many people out there who don't know Christ.
Amen.
And someone said, well, Pastor Sandy, you're 57 now, you just became more mature, and so you don't do as many dumb things as you used to. I said, that's a lie, because I know people older than me that are still dumber than I was when I was 21, that are still trying to be playboys at 60. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, just absolutely ridiculous stuff. I don't know if I was with Drea or if I was with the boys. But there was a lady, and she was an older lady, and the way she was dressed, I was like, does she think she's 20?
Yes.
But see, we don't understand that this sinful disease that is inside of our flesh needs a cure, right? And if you don't find a cure for it, it'll make you stupid your whole life. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, That bomb from Gilead is what has made us say, you know what? I don't think I'll smoke weed anymore. I think I want to go to a higher level. You know what I mean? We're all sophisticated and saved now, but it's because Jesus Christ is in you and you don't do something. You don't curse, and it's not because you're sophisticated. It's because it's defiling to you, because the Holy Spirit's living in you. So we have to be thankful for that. Let's learn something right now, because I was on a roll and I got to get off the roll and get back to the message. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 13. And as I go down this, I'm going to explain this to you, because we're kind of going on a little journey. You hear me, guys? You hear me, you guys? We're kind of going on a journey. This is the beginning of the journey, okay? Because God is making plans for Gentiles. Because he's already chosen a people. And he's chosen everything that they're going to go through. He already told them, you're going to get kicked out of the land before they even got in the land. Do you realize that? God told Israel, oh, when you get kicked out of the land for not obeying me, don't worry, I'm going to bring you back in 1948. He told them that before he even gave them the land. So the chosen people are already chosen. So, but God had to make a plan for what about, okay, you got these chosen people and you made promises to them and you prayed promises about their descendants and about the land that they're going to have. They have a promise from God. But God, what about the rest of the world? I got a plan. Because the just shall not, the just shall live by faith. That was the plan. You know, that was the plan that they gave to Habakkuk. Okay, write this down, Habakkuk, and make it plain. I don't want to get, huh? Is it Habakkuk? Make it plain. Make it plain about what? About my plan that I have for the world. Okay, don't write down your plans. Don't do that, Pastor Mill. Don't do that. Because so many people preach that because that's what the world gives you, because you're never going to learn what the plan really was if I make a psychological Jesus churchy thing out of it. You're never going to know what the plan was. The plan was, everybody's living by the law right now, but God says, I have a plan. The just shall live by faith. No longer will they need 613 laws to be righteous. The just will live by faith. They will have faith in Jesus Christ, and by that righteousness will come upon them. And I was like, wow, God. He says, when you see it, it'll be hard for you to even believe when you see it happen. But that was the plan. And he said, write it down because they would have to write down and be a, I forget the word for it. They would run a runner, and he would go out and give that word out to everybody. This is what the like a newspaper. The Lord has said, this is news for today. The just shall live by faith. And people are standing around going, no, the just to live by the keeping of the law. No, it's going to change. This was Habakkuk was trying to tell the whole world. It was going to be by faith. And so faith was coming, but it had not been received yet. And we're in Numbers chapter 13. And I want to begin at the beginning, first of all, because I have to explain this portion to you before we continue. Okay. It says here in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, send men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites, from each ancestral tribe, one of its leaders. So the Lord commanded Moses, sent them out from the desert Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites, and these are their names. Now, he's going to send out a leader from each tribe to go explore the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan is where Israel is right now, but the Canaanites were living there then. The black people were living there then, from Africa, because after the flood, they migrated, and these people ended up in the land that's going to be Israel, and they call themselves Canaanites, okay? So they go to explore the land of Canaan, and now remember now, this is after the flood, right? Yeah. They go into Canaan, and they discover that there are Nephilim there, yeah, right? All 12 of the tribes went into there, but they realize, oh my God, there's Nephilim there, okay? So, I want to continue to read this, because I want you to read, go through the names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammai, the son of Zechar. From the tribe of Simeon, Shapat, the son of Hori. Now, this is what I wanted you to understand. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb of Jephunneh. Now, listen. If you do a study on Caleb, Caleb's not from the tribe of Judah. Caleb is a Kenizzite. And his dad is Jephunneh, and they're Kenizzites. So how is it that this Gentile person is going to be a ruler and one of the 12 tribes to go and look at the land of Canaan? Where does he get this privilege being a Gentile, and why is he representing Judah? The reason he's representing Judah is because Judah sinned. And when Judah sinned, The scriptures of the Hebrews said, now, since the leader of your tribe has sinned, you have to wait 10 generations before anyone in your tribe can be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came up with this plan, they couldn't choose a person from the tribe of Judah. They have to choose someone outside of the tribe of Judah, because that tribe has a 10-year curse on it, or a 10-generation curse on it, that won't be lifted until David's born, who's from the tribe of Judah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they pick Caleb. And Caleb, which means dog, which makes you understand why the lady said to Christ, even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. And because Jesus says, I'm here for the Israelites, and it's not right that I give what's the Israelites to the dogs. Now, if he said it in Hebrew, he would say, it's not right that I give what's to the Israelite to the Caleb, to the Clevim, or to the dogs, right? Because Caleb means dogs. So she wasn't offended that Jesus referred to her people or her as being the dogs, because she knew the history that the Calebs are a part of this whole Israel story. And this is how Caleb became a part. Caleb, not being a Jew, went into the land with who? Who went with him? Joshua, right? Joshua and Caleb go into the land of Canaan, and they see, and now there's 10 of them with them, right? Joshua and Caleb come back with a great report. And their great report was not based on sight.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 10, their great report was based on sight. What they saw made them give a bad report.
Yeah.
You understand? What Caleb and Joshua knew about God gave them a good report.
Amen.
Because they knew, hey, the God that we serve split the sea and took the people from Egypt out, right? The God that we serve is a God of miracles, okay? So they understand that this God is great and can fight mighty battles. The 10, and here's what they saw. I'm going to read it because I'm going to skip down. Let's see. Here's what they saw. It says, we saw the Nephilim there in verse 33. I'm all the way at the bottom, but I'm going to go back up. We saw the Nephilim there. There, the descendants of Arnok came from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. So they're not lying. They're saying, hey, the people that are there are huge. I'm talking about some 9-foot brothers with muscles. And if they saw how the Nephilim, they talk about how the Nephilim would hunt, they would chase down a buffalo, pick it up, carry it in a hand, and eat it, and pull off a leg and eat it.
Hmm.
So we're talking about some people, right? And if they saw any of that, I would have been one of the people come back like, I don't want to go. Lord, please don't make us go. You know what I mean? So don't you blame the 10. The 10 saw what they saw, and they knew. The great thing about Caleb and Joshua was their mind was fixed on Jesus.
Amen.
I don't care how big it is. Amen. I don't care what the problem is. We know how we came out. Amen. We can do this. God looked at those two and went, oh my, and a Gentile doing this too? He's not even one of my people. Since he's not, I tell you what, they said, God said, when we do move into the land, give what land? What is the land is that? Give Hebron to Caleb. Make sure that Caleb receives that land for his own. Now watch this. Go back up to verse 22. It says, they went up through Negev and came to Hebron, where Anamim, Sheshai, and Talmia, the descendants of Arnak, lived. Hebron, he's giving you some history. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zion in Egypt. Do you hear that? The city of Hebron was built before the great city of Zion in Egypt. So before, 7 years before this great city of Zion in Egypt was built, 7 years before, Hebron had already been built. Okay? Why did God put this in there to let you know that Hebron was built 7 years before Zion in Egypt? Because something's going to happen with Hebron 7 years before the rescue. Amen. And what happens at the rescue? The nation of Israel is rescued. The Hebrews are rescued out of Egypt, right? Before that, 7 years before that, they had already built Hebron, where people were living. And you know what Hebron means in Hebrew? In relation to, friendly, in a friendship, friends of God, right? So these are in relationship, and friends of God is Hebron, okay? You need to understand why 7 years. What do we know that goes on that takes a 7 year period?
The tribulation.
The tribulation, right? But now look, we're in Numbers, and God makes sure that you know that Hebron comes before the rescue. You understand? Hebron comes. Now watch this. And who does Hebron belong to?
The Gentile.
Huh? Caleb. And who is Caleb? A Gentile. So God, the land, that this beautiful piece of land that is in Israel already belongs to the Gentile. So God is saying in Numbers, the Gentiles are going to have a part in this whole rescue and in this whole thing that I'm about to do with Israel. Okay? So Hebron is your city. You understand? Rather, it's thought of metaphorically as being a place, or the real place that is in Israel called Hebron. It will always belong to Caleb and the Gentile people.
Amen.
That's your land. Okay? Now, go to 2 Samuel chapter 8. We're going somewhere with this because this rescue of Gentile people, God is planning for you. Listen to me. God's planning for you. God could have said, I'm choosing one person out of one people out of the world, and those I'm going to rescue, and that's it. But God said, no, I'm going to not only save the people that I chose, I'm going to save the entire world through the people that I chose.
Amen.
Okay? Because what does Hebrew mean? Crossover. Who's crossing over?
The Gentiles.
Huh? Who's crossing over? What is... If there's a David, who's the greater David?
Jesus.
If there's a Moses, who's the greater Moses?
Jesus.
If there's an Adam, who's the greater Adam?
Jesus.
If there's a crossover, who's the greater crossover?
Jesus.
Jesus. They're named Hebrew because Jesus got a crossover from heaven to the earth for a rescue mission.
Wow.
You understand? That's the Hebrew. That's the crossover. Okay? So, here we are in Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. Yes, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. Thank you, Jacquois. It says, meanwhile, Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, Ashuri, Jezreel, Ephraim, Benjamin, and all of Israel. Now, what does Ishbosheth mean? Man of shame. This is an evil man. And the Jews, and if you go to Song of Songs, they had a party and danced over the anointing of Ishbosheth to be their king, to be the king over all the land. They're celebrating a antichrist figure king over the Jewish nation.
Mm.
And so they dance at Mehanim. They celebrated at Mehanim. Celebrating, we are coming under the authority of the man of shame, the Antichrist, right? Now, God didn't write this because it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. Remember, they still think they're waiting for a Messiah. And that Messiah is going to come. He just won't be Jesus. Mm-hmm. But they'll get Jesus when? How much later? 7 years later, right? Because Hebron was built 7 years before. Okay? Now, let's continue reading here. We're getting to it, y'all. You just hang in there. Okay? Now, it says here, Ishbosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old. I want you to know that 40, okay? Was 40 years old when he became king over Israel. And he reigned for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. The length of David's time was in Hebron. Over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Okay? So for 7 years and 6 months, the real king of Israel don't even get to reign over Israel. Where is he reigning at? In Hebron. And where is Hebron? Where the Gentiles are. Caleb's people are there. The Kenizzites. The land don't even belong to Israel. It belongs to a Gentile named Caleb. And the Gentiles are there. You understand? But David is reigning there for 7 years. This is what the Lord is trying to tell you. Look, I've always planned to take the church out for 7 years because you are the Gentile church. You are that Gentile nation that I've saved. That's why I built Hebron first 7 years before Zion, because Hebron is going to come first. So the 7 years has always been planned for you. And God is showing you here, I built this place for you in anticipation of the fact that when the Hebrew happens, when the crossover happens, that I come, my blood is going to rescue you, and the just shall live by faith. And you can be praiseful and joyful about what has just happened, okay? We don't understand nothing. I'm sorry about the human mindset sometimes, because if I don't see it, it ain't real. Mm-hmm. Okay? If I ain't never been there, it don't exist. Okay? And like I always say, the guy in the prison told me, well, I like this little thing you gave me about hell, but I don't believe in hell. I said, that's okay. I asked him, well, why don't you believe in hell? He said, well, nobody's ever really been there that could tell you that they've been there. I said, in the scriptures, I ain't never been there, so I don't believe in it. I said, that's okay. I don't believe in China because I ain't never been there. And I said, but I bet it's there. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because you don't see it, because you haven't experienced it, does not believe mean that it doesn't exist. Right. You understand? The lady that gave her testimony about dying said it was like walking through a door. She said, was it painful? How was the death experience? She said, no, it was like walking through a door. And I was there. And the Lord told me I had to go back. And I was like, no. And so we're always fighting like, oh, I got to fight for life. If you knew what was on the other side, you'd let your Volkswagen go because you know a Rolls Royce is on the other side, right? If we knew. So God probably didn't give us all the experience of knowing what it's like because we'd be all on buildings taking turns jumping, right? But since we don't know, it kind of makes us ignorant of the fact that it's real.
Yeah.
Okay? And what you're fighting for is real, okay? Your existence, because of Jesus, is eternal and real. Okay? And you always have to keep that in mind, because in this world, there is someone who always wants to steal that because it is a tangible gift. You understand? Mm-hmm. Eternal life is a gift, and it is tangible while you have it in this world, because Satan is always out to get you to change your faith and go the other direction and set your gift down, and you come back and he's like, you don't know scripture, you've been hanging around with the wrong people, you're doing things you used to do when you were dumb, and you're like, how did I get back here, okay? Yeah, you can repent and get back into right standing, but you don't want to place your gift into a dangerous area, okay? So we protect our eternal life. Now, in this whole thing, we're understanding here that, now, listen what happens. David came back after 7 years and 6 months and fought a war against Ishbosheth, killed Ishbosheth. What do you think they did to his head? They crushed his head because when Christ comes, he said he's going to crush the head of Satan, right? So they killed Ishbosheth, and then all the people of Israel said, now these are people who danced over the celebration of Ishbosheth becoming king. They danced for it. Now they're coming to David and saying, you've always been our king. You always fought our battles. And we love you. And now we want you to be king over all of Israel as well, right? God wrote this for a reason. Because that's the way it's going to happen. You understand? Israel is going to apologize. He says, they will see me, even those who pierce me will see me when I come. And he is going to rescue Israel. Their rescue is already planned. But what about your rescue? Your rescue has now been planned. And what is your rescue? Either you die in Christ, knowing Christ, and you're in the kingdom. Or if you're alive and still walking, you're snatched up to a wedding feast. Yeah. Either way, your rescue has been secured. Amen. Okay? God wants you to be ready for both. So if someone say, hey man, if you die, that was a guy asked me one time, white kid coming to me like, hey man, if you die today, I'm not even take white kid. He goes, hey man, if you die today, would you know rather you're gonna go to heaven or hell? And I was like kind of gangsterish at the time. I was like, dude, if you don't get out of my face, I'm gonna sock you. And he goes, well, Jesus loves you, and he walked out. Now I was stupid, you know, I was stupid. So it wasn't until later that I accepted Christ, but the question he asked was very important. As a Christian, we need to know, if you die today, do you know whether you're going to heaven or hell? My confidence is my faith in Jesus Christ, okay? I gave my life to Christ. I'm living for him, okay? I'm not trying to live a double life. I'm living for him. God wants me to be ready. Why? He wants me to be ready for eternity. Yeah. Rather you're living or you're close to death, he wants you to be ready. Why? Because walking through the door is a quantum leap. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
And rather you get it by rapture or rather you get it through death, he wants you to be ready. Okay?
Amen.
So God has this thing planned for us. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. This is my last verse on this Gentile thing, and then God wants me to get into my real message. I get this from Pastor Ben, you know. Pastor Ben's like, you don't have to get it, huh? You can say a whole nother message for 4 hours, then do your real message. It's like, Pastor Ben does it, so I'm going to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Now listen to this. Listen to this. This is, it says in Acts chapter 15, verse 13. Acts chapter 15, verse 13. It says, when they finished, James spoke. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The word of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this, after what? Because I should have read 12 too. Because it says here, God has done among the Gentiles through them. So God is working this thing that he's going to take out a Gentile people for himself. Okay? Then it says, after this, after he does what? Takes out a Gentile people for himself. He says,
after this, he says, I will return and rebuild David's fallen ruin, fallen tent. I will, its ruins will be rebuilt. I will restore it that the remnant of men may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. Okay, what's been known for ages? God has had a Gentile plan for ages. That's why he built Hebron. That's why he gave Hebron to Caleb. God is in the beginning of this story saying, I got a love for you Gentiles. I've already built you a place, and I built it 7 years before that, so that you know I have a 7-year plan for you that doesn't include what? What did Joseph and his bride not have to go through? The famine. How long did the famine last?
7 years.
Okay. Was Joseph married to a good Jewish girl?
No.
He was married to, one of the priests of Egypt's daughter, right? So listen to me. God has always planned for the Gentiles to escape for 7 years any trouble that's coming over the world. So I don't believe in 3 days of darkness, like we're going to all run around for 3 days of darkness and we're like, oh my God, I hope Jesus comes. No, God is not. He said, before I come, people will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Yeah. Ain't nothing going to be going on that's crazy. Okay? And he said, at that time, this is when that will happen. You understand?
Yeah.
So God has made us a promise. I have a plan to rescue the Gentiles out of the world, okay? Only person that can ruin that plan is the person that you look at in the mirror when you get up in the morning, okay? The scripture says no one can snatch them out of Jesus' hands.
That's right.
So you secure in Jesus, okay? And no one can take your eternal life, because if you possess it with a sense of value. Do you understand? I want us to go.
15.
That's beautiful. I want us to go to the book of James, chapter 1. And I did not mark. You got James? Isn't the James one of those hard books to find? I can't. Be like, somebody tell me where James. It's not hard for you? That's because you want to. Well, I'm going to have to cast it down too, because I just found it. All right. Now watch this. This is what I want you to know. Okay? The testing of your faith. Okay? The testing of your faith. Okay? I want you to understand, Pastor Ben.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. I'm gonna read this from this book. This is a great book. Every Christian should have it. Numbers in Scripture. Okay? By E.W. Bullinger. Okay? Now watch this. This is the God thumbprint on the world. Okay, watch this. These scientists did this. I went and studied this when I first did this study, okay? It says, with animals, the period of gestation. What's the period of gestation? The time from pregnancy to the time to have birth, right? Every animal in the world's gestation period is a multiple of 7. The scientists found this out. When they found this out, one of the guys, and I got to get you to study, one of the guys gave his life to Christ. He said, every animal in the world's gestation period is a multiple of 7. Somebody planned this world. He can no longer believe or be an atheist.
What?
He said, I can't be an atheist. That's a design. That is not a happenstance, right? Watch this. It says, the mouse is for 21 days, goes through gestation, and for 21 days it takes them to give birth, 3 times 7. A rabbit and a rat take 28 days, 4 times 7. A cat takes 56 days, 8 times 7. So there you know, you have it again. A dog takes 63 days for birth, 9 times 7. A lion takes 98 days for birth, 14 times 7. Wow. A sheep takes 147 days for birth, 21 times 7. You see that? Look at those 33777 gives you a sheep, gives you a lamb. Ooh. Isn't that something? So after looking at this, he goes, this is crazy. He said, well, let's look at the human. The humans is 280 days if there's no, you know, problems, 40 times 7. So if a sheep or a lamb is 21 times 7, which is the Trinity, 777, why 40 for a human? What's the number 40 for a human?
Testing.
Testing. So that means God put you here to be tested.
Well,
you're going to be tested. You're in the wilderness. Welcome to the wilderness, okay? In the wilderness, I'm going to find out what kind of character you have and whether you really trust me, and I'm going to find out whether you love me or whether you hate me in the wilderness.
Amen.
From the time Christ was 17 years old to 2017 was 40 jubilees.
Yes.
The wilderness test. You understand? Everybody who lives on this earth is going to go through the wilderness before you get to the promised land. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Because it's here where God is going to find out whether you're his friend or not.
Amen.
And now I want to read this to you. So, because let's read this, because I don't want to get it twisted. People like, I'm going to tell you a story. Okay. James chapter 1, right? Let's see where we are. Let's go in verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance or patience, right? He wants you to, I would rather say the word perseverance, because that's really more the word. Because it means to persevere means that you have to put some effort into continuing to move forward.
Right.
Okay? Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Learn how to persevere. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Let me make sure I'm where the Lord. Yep, I'm where the Lord wants me to be. Okay, now, so we know that we all are going to go through the test before you get to. Now, I want you to understand this. Let's go to verse 12 because you got to understand this part. Verse 12. Okay. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials. When you're going through something, God said you are blessed if you persevere through your trial. Mm-hmm. Because what is it? It's a test. Okay. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Yeah. How do you know? How does God know you love him?
Stand the test.
He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you'll do what you want. It's easy for God. You understand? Mm-hmm. He said, I know you don't love me. How do you know? Because you did the opposite of everything I told you to do. So God says, I know you love me by your obedience, by keeping my commands. Now, let's continue this. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. God told me, stop right there. Temptation is not testing.
Wow, right.
If somebody is tempting you to do evil, that's not a test from God. If you create your own temptations, that's not a test from God, okay? Amen. Because people get it twisted. Oh, God just tested me. Tyrone called me. No. Hang up the phone. That God didn't have Tyrone call. Somebody else had Tyrone call, right? And his name begins with an S. Okay? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone to do evil. He doesn't tempt anybody to do evil. He says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Okay? So if you're having temptations, it's because of a desire that's inside of you that is causing you to want to do something. Okay? I have a desire to do the things I used to, but I don't want to do it. Good. Fight it, right? Being tempted or having a desire to do something does not mean you have to do it.
That's right.
If somebody said, you know what, I have attraction to the same sex, that's a temptation coming from Satan. And the desire may be in your flesh, but you don't have to do it.
Amen.
Because when you do it, listen to this. Listen to this. It says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin.
Yeah.
And the sin gives and the sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to thanatos.
Yes.
And I'm saying thanatos because it uses that word here. You understand? Because thanatos means after death torment. Okay? There are many words in Greek. That's what I love about Greek. You don't have to figure out what they mean. I got four different words for death in here, and some means to decease quietly, just a physical death. Some means to be murdered, and some means, I mean, they have different meanings, okay? Thanatos directly says after death into Hades, okay? So if you let your desires become full grown, because if you desire something and then you say, okay, now I'm going to go ahead and do it, then now you're trapped, because Satan wants to trap you in that sin. Now that sin is going to grow up, and when it becomes full, it says that will lead to death in Hades. Okay? So what do we need to fight? Temptation and our own desires. You understand? Temptation and our own desires. The Lord told me to write down temptation is a form of trapping, okay? Because if I know you're hungry, I can put a sandwich under a box, you know what I mean? And have you walk in there to get the sandwich. That's the temptation. Temptation is a trap, and it doesn't come from God. God doesn't trap people in sin.
Wow.
Satan does.
Wow.
Understand?
Man.
So if Satan is telling you, oh, you might be gay, you don't have to do that.
Amen.
I love Drea's sister. She said, you know what? I lived that gay lifestyle for so long, but now, she said, I'm just going to be single. I love animals. They call her like the animal whisperer in Seattle. She loves animals. She's loving life. And she says, even if I never be with a man, one thing, I'll never be with a woman, because I love Jesus. That's a wise decision. Why?
Yes.
Because if you have the desire is coming from inside of you. Why? Because you were born in this flesh, and it's disgusting. This flesh likes to do things that are ungodly, right? But if Satan knows that we have these sin problems, he's going to always test each and every one of us with what? What you like.
Yep.
Because he's been watching you. Since you was little, he's been watching you. And he happens to know what you like. Okay? That's why you have to make wise decisions. Okay? Because if you know that is sin,
amen,
Satan is going to attach your desire with temptation.
Yes.
And then now, since you have the Spirit of God in you, you know that it's sin.
Yep.
Now you have to make a decision on to act or not act. And if you act, it becomes a trap. Because now you're in it. You understand? Now you got to repent. Now you, sometimes people, when they get in it, it's harder to get out of it than it was to get into it. You understand?
Amen.
So you can't let your desires become your trap by taking this temptation from Satan. Okay?
Amen.
Trials come from God. Okay? You had a good job. Everything was going good. They laid everybody off, and you with your Christian self. What? I'm blessed and highly favored. How am I gonna get fired? In your trials, where do you run to?
Jesus.
Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You understand?
Amen.
They're not gonna take your car. Because you know, while you're going through a trial, Satan knows trials too.
Amen.
And he'll say, well, let's come up with a plan. I don't take plans from you.
Right.
Amen.
I'm praying and I'm going to ask God what to do, because this is a trial and I was born for this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what some football players say. They're so confident. I was born for this. You know what I mean? You guys say, I was born for trials. Okay. I'm going to run to Jesus. And Jesus has overcome the world. And then you go through the test. On the other side of the test is always something greater than when you started with.
Yes,
ask the children of Egypt that came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other side, paradise, or going into the promised land, is much better than Egypt, right?
Amen.
So on the other side of every trial is something beautiful God has planned for you, but he wanted you to go through this trial so that the next time something like this happens for you or for someone else, you can say, God is able.
Amen.
God is able. Girl, look, I've been through this. I was with this. You know what I mean? I was there. It will not have victory over you. All you got to do is just stay with Jesus. I'm going to pray with you. We're going to work this thing out together, right? When you have a trial, you run to Jesus, okay? Temptations and testing are two different things. God may test you because he wants to build you up. He wants you to understand how to trust him, okay? But know the difference. God don't tempt. You know that God didn't even tempt Pharaoh. Everybody said, oh, well, he made Pharaoh do what he was going to do. Every time it says that, it says God strengthened Pharaoh in Hebrew.
Yeah.
It said Pharaoh was getting weak and he saw the plague that was coming over and he started getting weak. And it said God strengthened him. The Hebrew word kazak, God gave him strength to carry on. So when God was strengthening him, he'd get his little shoulders up and say, I'm still going to sin, right?
Uh-huh.
Now understand this. When you're going through something and God sees that you're about to give up, he'll strengthen you.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, he will.
Stop.
He will.
He's not strengthening you so you can continue sinning.
Right.
He's strengthening you because he wants to see, are you going to continue sinning? Because you're sinning, and then God says, okay, something happens to you, and then God says, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm gonna bless you to get on your feet and to be able to do the things you need to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get a little money and a little air in your chest,
well,
don't know what it's going to reveal? Who you really are.
Yep.
So when God strengthens you, humble yourself. Get on your knees, say thank you, and say, this time I'm going to do it right.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
40 is our destination. You understand? That's why it's our gestation period. We're going to go through trials. There is temptation in the world, but the problem is the trials that we go through, okay? We should have nothing to do with temptation or evil desires.
Amen.
But While you're living for Jesus, people get confused. I'm living for God, and then I lost my job. That's why I stopped going to church. That's crazy. If you're living for God, you should have confidence. When I got fired from one job, and this is like my third fine, the first two I cried. But this one, this one, I was like, I called Drea. I said, Drea, they fired me. She's like, really? I saw PQ. I said, PQ, I got fired today. He said, why are you so happy? I said, I know God's doing something. Because I understood the difference. You understand? I understood. And I didn't want to cry again because God was like, oh, I got to put you through it again. Because I don't want you crying when you go through a trial. I want you to praise my name and have confidence in me. You understand? That's what God wants you to do. Have confidence in me that I'm leading you and I'm guiding you. You're going to a better place. Amen. Don't you keep crying every time, because then I got to send you back through. Because you're going to learn to trust me.
Right.
That's what God is saying.
Yep.
You're going to learn to trust me.
This
I could have took them from Egypt to promised land. But what would that do? I wouldn't know if they're my friends, whether they love me or they hate me, right, what their character is like. But now that you're going through earth, you got the opportunity to show God I'm your friend.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. That's Amen. It. Hallelujah. Yes. Okay, this is what I want to say. All the members that are joining, Janelle has been talking to them, right?
Yes.
I want all of you guys to know that the process of getting all the memberships and the paperwork together is going to take a while. We have not forgot you, okay, or forgotten you. But we are getting everything in process. We love when people join S4C, and I'm thinking of something, and the Lord is putting in my heart that I need to do a going through the Bible study with our members, okay? Amen. Not just the members there, but the members here, because you get things wrong, and then it's like some people don't pray when they're reading stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And they get an idea,
right?
And then God did call some of us to be teachers, okay? Mm-hmm. So ask the Holy Spirit. He's the best teacher.
Yes.
And he'll lead you to somebody with the right answer.
Yes.
Or he'll tell you, right?
Yes.
But we need to. So the Lord is leading me to like start a going through the Bible yes. process. Okay.
Yes.
So that we can understand the word of God. And then once you understand the word of God, people can't lie to you. Because what we need in this world right now amongst Christians is better biblical knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. If we knew the Bible better, we would not speak some of the words that we speak, because we know that the words have power.
Yes.
Okay? Because how can, because if you know in Hebrew, deber means things, and it means to speak, and it means things appearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I speak also means things. You think God can come up with two different words for things and speak? Or do you think that things you say manifest?
They manifest.
Things you say manifest. So God says what? Be careful of your words, what comes out of your mouth, right?
Yeah.
If you understand these things from scripture, it's going to give you wisdom. Understand?
Yeah.
Abracadabra is Hebrew. I speak it, therefore it appears.
Wow.
That's a Hebrew word.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No.
Well, now you do.
Yeah.
That's what the magician is saying. He's using a Hebrew term.
Wow.
Don't speak it if you don't want it.
Hallelujah.
And don't speak it over kids if you don't want that.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
So there's so many things that we need to understand from the word so that people can't come and lie to us.
Amen.
And make up stories. Okay, so pray for me on that.
Tell them to go to our website and contact us.
Yes, go to Pastor Ben just said it. Say it again, Pastor Ben.
Go to our website and contact us.
They heard you the first time. They're not deaf. All right.
Amen.
So with that, we're going to say goodbye to our S4C family around the world. Stay with Jesus. God has a great plan. We're going to be leaving for 7 years. I wish I knew exactly when. But my bags are packed, and
Amen.
I'm not unpacking them. Praise God.
Praise
All
God.
Right.
Beautiful, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Huh?